All right. Evidence, welcome back to DubCNN.com. How are things, man?
Everything is extraordinary. That's two words. That's not one word.
I hear you. So I wanted to kind of get right into it, man. The term underrated is often used when your name is mentioned. How do you go from being underrated to being more widely appreciated for what you do as an artist? Or does that really matter to you right now?
I'm at a real interesting point in my career right now. Last year, I was really like gaining. I was trying to really gain everyone's approval, you know, because it was the first time I was doing a solo album, so I really wanted to make. I was like very concerned with making sure everyone understood what I was doing. You know, it was like last year was like my talent show, really. Like, I was trying to really put people on to something new that I'm doing, and it's difficult to build a new brand, so that's what I was doing there. I was giving out, like, a lot of promo t-shirts, so to speak. If I was, like, a clothing company or something, you know, it was like building the brand. This year, I'm starting to really get into a real creative process that I've never really got into before, where I've kind of, like, stopped. It's not that I've stopped caring, but I've stopped reading magazines so much, watching TV and listening to radio so much, and really, like, I'm just focusing on being creative, like, on some real shit. Like, I know people say that, but I have, like, Alchemist and Sid Roams and Babu and all these ill creative people around me, and I just felt like it's time to stop really caring about what other people do so much and really just get into my own shit. And because of it, it's opening up a lot of doors right now for me. So I don't... Underrated is, to me, that's a big compliment when someone says underrated. That just means, like, you know, you haven't really landed yet, that when I say that about somebody. And as far as reaching more people, I just feel like because I'm really getting content with who I am and becoming comfortable, not just as a rapper, but as a man in just my existence on earth, it's going to be shining a little. It's just going to be more light, and people are attracted to light. So hopefully they'll get attracted to my world, and I don't necessarily have to go out seeking it so much. Hopefully I can bring it to me more this year through a good work ethic and a lot of live shows and shit like that.
Cool. Well, I want to speak about the fruits of you building your brand in a minute, but now that the Weatherman LP has been out for, you know, well over a year, let's look back on it for just a second. Are you happy with the way it performed in the marketplace, and kind of talk about what did stepping out on your own teach you?
Well, I'm still in the process of unraising myself right now, to be honest, because through 96 till 2000, it's kind of what I'm mirroring right now, trying to do a better version of that. Because that's when we were on the vinyl shit only, hustling shit through Fat Beats, doing shows from people who would just give us gigs, whatever, for cash at the end of the night, no booking agency. It was real innocent. And because of it, that's why Dialing took off and created a buzz, a bidding war and a buzz and all that stuff. So I'm really just trying to go that route right now with just this whole building this fucking process up and whatever you want to call it. What was the exact question? Because I'm straying off on it right now.
Oh, it's all good. I was saying, what did, you know, did the album do what you thought it would do in the marketplace?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I smoke a lot, so I'm drifting. But I get excited. Like, 20 things enter my mind. Right? The album sales were not as good as it could have been. But there is a lot of positivity in the sales also. For instance, I'm a year and a half out after my album, and my video just chased the cloud with a second video, just made Sucker Free Sundays on MTV, you know? And, like, yeah. How does that happen? It's a different hustle. So, like, to answer your question directly, what it's showing me is you can't give up on something you believe in, one, and two, independently, it takes a lot longer to reach people than it did through the system that kind of got me lazy. Putting out 3-4 albums through Capitol, I can always expect $150,000 to $200,000, maybe $300,000 marketing budget that's going to, you know, put me here. I can always expect $100,000 video. I can always expect our group to be splitting up a few $100,000s every year in advance. Like, it does make you a little lazy, and I'm happy that I'm off that situation because I just have a lot of freedom to do whatever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want. And that's the kind of artist that I think a lot of people should be right now. You know, I just think the superstar shit is dead. I keep saying that. But y'all, I'm on the stage, you guys are the crowd, look at me, I'm great, you're the small audience, worship me, shit is so old. It's like, get dirty, keep fucking
shake hands, do that shit. You know, that's what I'm trying to do right now.
I hear you. So you mentioned about that independent spirit and kind of getting back to it. I read what you said.
Feel free to edit this because I'm talking a whole lot.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's cool. I read what you said, that your debut album gave you an opportunity to give fans more of Evidence. And the responsibility, like you mentioned before, was all yours, from design to getting features and all that.
Having That's what we were talking about the last time we did the interview with Doug Stanhope.
Right, right. And so having experienced that liberation, does that help you when you get back to record with Dilated? In terms of being able to take all that and be even a greater group member?
I can't tell you yet because I haven't done it yet. I'm really charging up for Dilated people. The thing about Dilated it was always like we really wanted to do music with each other. Like Rocker and I love making music with that dude. He's like a big brother to me. I've learned so much from him, and I don't want it to be anything forced. So in the last year or 2 years, I've recorded more than I have in a long time, but not on Dilated People song.
Right.
Rocker's out doing his solo thing. Crown of Thorns is his solo album. He's about to drop and get familiar with the people on a solo level. Babu has Duck Season 3 coming out October 28th. So they got to catch up right now. Not in the sense that I'm better or ahead. Like God, I just mean they got to go through the cycle of what I just went through as far as, you know, revealing an individual identity, not with Dilated People. I think once they get to do that, especially Rocker, then it's going to be really dope. It's like being in a marriage where it's like, you know what, babe, I just want to go out and fuck for a couple weekends. You know, I'm just going to go to some swinger shit, and hopefully you understand that, and I'll be back and hold it down. Word. And it's like, then maybe you feel like you don't got to go out and do some shit because you and your lady have an understanding.
Gotcha.
It's a bad metaphor. Maybe it's not. Maybe you can. I don't know. But my point is that once he gets to have his freedom, I've already had mine. I think then we're going to really be able to see eye to eye and get busy. Right now, I think we're something that is definitely going nowhere as far as our mindset is, but I want to make sure it's right when we hit the lab again. So that's that answer.
Gotcha. Now you mentioned the cycle. So you're about to start that cycle again. You have a new mixtape coming called The Layover, and the sophomore album Cats and Dogs is on the horizon. So what can you tell us about both of those projects? And is Alchemist going to be holding down most of the production again? What about you on the beats? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be. You know, people love. I'm grateful that people like some of the production I do, and I want to continue to do that for myself. However, I'm around a lot of people who are doing ill shit, and my shit has to go through the same process their shit has to go through to make it. I'm not going to just use an Evidence track because I'm Evidence and it's my album. Like, that's how you hurt yourself. So if I can make something that's on the level of DJ Khalil or Crisis or Alchemist or any of the people I'm working with, then it's going to make it. If I can't, then so be it. But at the end of the day, I am presenting myself as a rapper for this shit, so it's about my best search. I've been rapping a lot lately. In the last, I would say, month, I probably have spent, I would say 26 of the 30 days in the studio from 11 a.m. to probably 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., you know, like,
right.
And I've recorded maybe up to 20 or 30, maybe 20, between 25 and 30 freestyles right now, and I've been linking a couple of them last week. I put out three of them. I did one Prodigy one. I did one Celebrity Reality over Lil Wayne, Let the Beat Build, and I put one out over Jimi Hendrix instrumental that I love. And I want people to understand that I'm really on a creative shit. When you say you're creative, you can't just say it. You got to put it out there. So hopefully my words are good, but my actions are better.
Okay, I got you. So in terms of
So back to the question, the layover, so here's how it's going to go exactly. This should be a new paragraph so people, everyone understand it. Or if this is audio, then you're listening to it, word up. So the layover mixtape is first.
Okay.
And that's going to be hosted, hopefully, by DJ Ski. Who's one of my favorites, and Doug CNN, I'm sure you know well.
Yeah.
I'm going to do an actual EP called The Layover EP, which is going to be 6 songs, all brand new material. I kind of want it to be like Pete Rock's Feel Smooth's first album that they put out before the main, before Mecca and the Soul Brother. It was just like that EP, it was so fly.
Yeah.
6 songs, it made you want that shit. That's what I want to do.
Nice.
So, I'm talking to Knots right now. I got one from Spit Roams, I got one, 2 from Crisis, I got one, and maybe one, hopefully Alchemist, you know, and that'll be the Layover EP, which is going to come out November 11th.
Okay.
And that's the first time I've dropped the date, so you are the first to know that. And that's, I won't say the label, but I did start my own label, which is called Taylor Made Records.
Right.
My mother's last name was Taylor. She passed away, and
I really want to continue her legacy, so I took her signature, her last name, Taylor, and I put Made Records after it. So the label has a lot of importance. It's really powerful to me, and I think we're going to have success because of it. So this will be the first thing on TaylorMade slash something else. What the something else is, I'm not going to reveal yet because I'm still doing paperwork.
Okay.
And then that's coming, and then hopefully all this shit is just all promoting Cats and Dogs. I'm talking to Mick Boogie right now about doing a second tape to promote Cats and Dogs after Layover EP. And, you know, just, I got to understand that it's a big world right now, and, like, being an artist who's, like, reserved and in the shadows is something more of something that is kind of up the path. It used to be really dope when you had a big label, you know, putting all this money into you, but if you don't have that, then you really kind of, I don't think it's possible to overexpose yourself. So I'm going to, in the next year, I'm going to try to go the overexposing myself route.
Okay, sounds good. Now, I saw the video on your MySpace that touched on your production, and I saw that TaylorMade Records logo on there, too. That touched on how you kind of have done away with a lot of your vinyl collection and decided to keep a mini arsenal of records that you feel are most useful to you. What prompted you to need to kind of prune your vinyl tree, so to speak?
Well, I just had so many records, you know, and it's just taking up all this space, and, you know, we're entering a digital age right now where I'm doing a lot of online digging, you know?
Okay.
But online finding things and then maybe trying to find a record, or finding of a record and then online trying to find it, vice versa. And, you know, I've switched, I'm making a lot of my beats on Reason now, which is, you know, working on software instead of hardware. I still have my MPC and my ASR, which I love. I still make shit on that, too. I'm not going to abandon that, but, I really felt like, you know what, I have 2, 3, 4 of this record for what? Like, you know, you start to get like a collection. I don't want to be like 60 and 70 years old and still have like all my shoes from when I was young. Like, that's something like my mother always did. That I hated when she did. She always like kept shit. I'm like, what are we keeping this shit for? You know what I mean? It's like, why? I don't want to get it. So I just cleaned it all out. The vinyl rack that you saw was just samples. That's all samples. I still have a hip-hop room, you know, that's all for hip-hop vinyl that I can't throw whatever.
Okay.
That was just like every vinyl in there has a reason, like whether it's a library record or drum record or something I've sampled in the past that I wanted to keep. Like, I can't pull a piece of vinyl out that I wasn't like, oh, this is what I made that for, or this is how I'm going to flip this in the future. Like, everything has a reason. So that's my vinyl collection. I broke it down to maybe 1,000 records or something like that.
that's still quite a lot. But you're an accomplished MC and a talented producer. How important is chemistry between an MC and a producer?
It gets deeper than that. I've been learning.
Okay.
It gets way deeper. There's the chemistry between a rapper and a producer as a person is very important, and then a producer and a person's chemistry with the producer's rhythm is just as important. It's two different things. Like, if it's an Alchemist beat, like, I've rapped on his drums for so many years that I really understand his swing, and because of it, I could probably do better on his beat than I might be able to do some guy I just get beats from somewhere. You know, that's because I understand him as a person and his rhythm. Same thing with Sid Rohmes, you know, Joey Chavez and Bravo. To me, it's like I could rap on their beats the best because I just grew up with them in Venice. I understand them as people and as producers. And it's just fresh, you know what I mean? So I think it's very important. There are cases where, you know, you don't have to meet the guy and magic happens, but I don't think that's how whole albums happen. I think that's like random songs happen like that. And that's cool too, but to create a vibe for a whole album, you really got to be tight with the people on a different level. That's why I think the Weatherman LP worked, because everyone from the guest to the producers were people that I had in my Rolodex that I already knew.
Right.
Maybe with the exception of Slug from Atmosphere. He's the only person I didn't really know that well. But I knew him well enough to cold call him, and he didn't hang up on me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, basically, yeah, it's friends make better music than strangers.
Gotcha. Well, shoot, man, I know you got a probably another long studio night ahead of you. Any last words for Dub CNN? Let the folks know where to stay up on what's going on with Evidence, and the floor is yours, man.
You know, to sound like every other fucking person in the world, my MySpace is up. I try to keep my MySpace a little more interactive and updated than a lot of different other people do. Like, it's checked every day, hourly sometimes. You know, new posts and things keep you informed of what I'm doing and other people around me are doing, like Alchemist coming out with his album October 28th, also same day as Babu. And my man 88 Keys coming out with his album October 28th. You know, shit like that. Just stuff that information you might not find, or you might find on a blog or something like that. You know, you can check my page for that.
show is extremely important. If you can check me out live, I would really appreciate you doing that, because I feel like some of my recordings are good, but sometimes after I memorize the recordings and get to do them live, I start getting better at doing those songs. Like, I wish I could re-record a lot of my shit now.
Not to cut you off, but I was at the show that you did in Tucson, Arizona, when you were touring with, Little Brother?
Right, right.
And I caught you live, and yeah, I mean, the energy that you have on stage, I mean, I can attest to it. I mean, so it was a great show.
Thank you. You know, so it's like sometimes my energy doesn't come off on the vinyl quite, or on wax as much as I would like, but then, like, I learn how to do it later and get to do it live, but check out the live shit. I definitely would recommend that. And for any rapper you like, make or break situation. If you don't like, if you see a rapper, he's not doing his shit, throw some shit at him.
All right, damn, man. Well, thanks again for your time, man.
All right. Or her.
Or